Blog Talk Radio. Welcome once again to Madam Perry Salon. It's been pretty busy here. Thanks to wonderful listeners like you who continue to support me by listening and sharing the episodes. And I'm so fortunate to have so many fantastic people on tonight, no exception. Tonight's guest is Hadaresh Amara, and she's going to be telling us about her new book, The Warrior Goddess, Claiming the Woman You Are Destined to Be. I love it from the title. She's got me right there. And if you know anything about Hadaresh Amara, you know she's got the goods, and she's just absolutely enchanting. She's got the help that we need. She has passion for teaching, inspiring, and she's going to give us clear and practical tools to help us reframe our lives so that we can see creative, magical possibilities in even the most difficult places. Something needed even more in these times. So right now she's almost into the parking lot here from Madam Perry Salon. So while I wait for Hadaresh Amara, I'm going to say too, thanks again for Frank DeVille Greenville for being on last night. Fantastic guy. Tomorrow we've got Randy Blazak. And right now I'm going to play a song while Miss Amara gets in here. It's a song by one of my favorite ladies. Her name is Elizabeth Elkins. She's a songwriter, performer, beautiful. You may have heard a lot of songs with her band. We're going to play something from Granville Automatic tonight. But you may have also heard her music on TV shows and movies like Rescue Me and Mean Girls. So right now, how about a little bit of Granville Automatic, Elizabeth Elkins, and the song is Nose Dog.
My front porch, I can see you better. I wonder when you wrote that letter. Did you think of me as the enemy? 'Cause I'm still looking for a sign. But it's home to me, and this won't be easy. Don't turn your back, don't turn your back away from what you know. Don't turn your back, don't turn your back from that sweet Virginia home. Yeah. march those cannons off to war. Now we're no stars, only my father's soul. From my front porch, I can see you better. I wonder when you wrote that letter. Did you think of me? And don't turn your back.
That was No Stars from our friend Elizabeth Elkins, Granville Automatic. And welcoming, as I promised you, to Madame Perry Salon tonight, warrior goddess and author, Heather Ash Amara. Heather Ash, welcome to Madame Perry Salon. Come on in, please.
Thank you so much. It's a delight to be here.
I am thrilled to have you here, and just find a nice, lovely cushion here. We've got some in every color. I hope we find the one that you like. I know it's a little Moroccan in here, but I think you'll be comfortable.
It's fabulous. Thank you.
Okay.
I love it.
Well, listen, congratulations on your newest book, The Warrior Goddess, Claiming the Woman You Are Destined to Be. And as I was saying earlier, That title just grabbed me in. I guess you could always say that there are always challenging times in every day and every generation, but sometimes, you know, you feel you need it maybe now a little bit more than you did last week or last month or last year. And I just think that you're here to help your sisters out.
Absolutely. And it definitely feels like a rich time for us as women to come together and circle as we once did and to reclaim our power.
Indeed. Now, like I said, this is just a brand new book. And before this, so you had your book, which is a bestseller, Warrior Goddess Training. So do these two books fit together? One sort of follows the other?
Yes, absolutely.
There's
there's three in the trilogy. There's Warrior Goddess Training was the first book that came out 2 years ago. And that one has just been amazing how far and wide it has traveled. And then I wrote a companion book to Warrior Goddess Training. That's a workbook because I'm really interested in helping people to have practical information to make change in their life. So that's what the workbook is for. And then the newest book in the trilogy is called Warrior Goddess Way. Came out last month, so it's a brand new baby book. And that one was inspired by all the questions that women had written to me that had read Warrior Goddess Training and had more questions and wanted to get more information. And so I really started exploring what are the main pain points or struggles we have as women. And that's what went into Warrior Goddess Way. Was the answers to a lot of the questions that I've been receiving.
So if I could, and I've got so many questions, so you're going to have to forgive me. I'm going to be all over the place. I just don't know where to start. But I think that, as I understand, and by the way, I do know this too. When I've looked at your videos of you on YouTube and such and read, one of the things that really strikes me is that when you're talking to groups of people, you establish a comfort zone with them and how you carry yourself physically and how you seem to just let down a guard between you and the people with whom you're speaking and teaching and training, and they seem to respond to it in kind. And I think that's
something
to help people. It's not just your knowledge is great and your willingness to help is great and your passion, but the fact that you make them feel comfortable. And I see it every time I watch one of these videos. I think you know what I'm talking about. You make it easy for them to relax, exhale, open up their hearts and minds and listen to you. And I think that's a powerful thing. It's very enchanting too.
Yeah.
Well, it feels really important. I'm just sharing what I love. And so I'm always super excited when I get to do a video or teach or share on a radio show such as yours, because I know that these tools that I've learned have helped me so much, and it just makes my heart so happy to be able to share them, and that we're all on a journey. I really believe that. We're all on a journey together, and so the more that we can support each other and love ourselves and each other through it, the better.
Amen. So tell me, what do you, how do we define, what is the warrior goddess?
The warrior goddess is two energies that we as women have the opportunity to reclaim. The warrior energy is about commitment, focus. It's 100% yes, I'm in. And the goddess energy is around opening, around creativity, receptivity. And I like to think that the warrior energy says, I'm going there, I'm going to get there as efficiently and quickly as possible. And the goddess energy says, and how shall we make this really pleasurable? And how can I bring as many of my friends along with me? And the goddess energy reminds us to play, and that there's also so many different varieties of goddess, of that particular quality of energy of the divine feminine. So it's not about us trying to become exactly 50% warrior and 50% goddess, and if I bring those two together, then I'll be fine. It's really us becoming intimate with ourselves and learning, who am I? What's my expression of warrior goddess? And some of us are more warrior oriented naturally. That's our natural state. And some of us are more goddess oriented. And some of us are more 50-50. So I really encourage women to not compare or think that there's a particular way to be a warrior goddess. It's you becoming yourself fully.
Okay. So what, and I like that. And what I think about, what I'm following through with what you're saying is, at this point, we also have to make a point, and this is hard for us to do, women, because we're multitaskers for everyone else. So yes, this seems to call for a commitment to ourselves. How do we commit to us? How do I commit
exactly to me? Yes, and that's the first step. Warrior Goddess Training has 10 lessons, and the first lesson is commit to you. And that commitment is to put ourselves back in the equation. Remember talking with a woman who realized as she started doing this work, she was like, oh my gosh, not only have I not put myself like as one of the equation, I haven't put myself in the equation at all. And so we want to begin to recognize we are important, and that nurturing and supporting and empowering ourselves is the biggest gift we can give to everyone around us. And so not to think, oh, well, I'll take care of everyone first, and then if there's some left over, then I'll attend to myself. But what we're committing to is being the best that we can be, not from our judge, not from a place of perfection, but from a place of deep love for ourselves. And that's a really different place to direct our attention towards ourselves.
And you know, that's something, you know, we don't always think about it, but that matters. And, you know, lately I hear when people talk about, well, taking care of yourself, they're used a lot about they often use the analogy of the oxygen in the plane, how you put your own oxygen mask on first. You know, you're instructed, because if your oxygen's not on, you can't help anyone near you. But
yeah,
so it's easy to say, but doing it's a different thing. And also, women, and I have so many friends, as we all do, I have so many friends, and I know we are not the only women to talk about this. But like, I've got a couple of good friends, and we'll talk about things, and each one of us will say something like, well, I just don't know if I can do that, or I want to do this, or they, and we have an insecurity. And then the other two will say, you know, if you could see yourself the way I see you, you would have no insecurity at all.
Exactly.
So, wow, what, and And we're all looking at each other like, are you kidding? You? You're fabulous. You know, you're a goddess. But when it comes to ourselves, you know, I don't see myself the way they see me, and vice versa. So how do we, Heather Ash, how do we let go of the insecurity part?
Well, the first part is to name it, to just acknowledge there is insecurity, there is lack of self-worth, there's fear, there's vulnerability. And I found just naming it to start is helpful, because it then takes us out of the shadow and brings it into the present, so we can really go, okay, so hello, I'm insecure or I'm afraid right now. And then we want to look at, and where do I want to put my attention? And in this reweaving we're doing as women, one of the things that I like reminding myself and women is that this isn't our issue individually. This is an issue that as women we're grappling with, of what we learned. We learned to be insecure. We learned to not trust ourselves. It's something that has been carried down through our ancestry, unfortunately, because of how women have been treated. And so when we stop personalizing it of, I have low self-esteem, or I don't feel worthy, and just recognize I am a warrior goddess that's in the process of changing this pattern that most women have. It's not personal. I'm not fatally flawed. And to then begin to explore, okay, so if I treated myself as my best friend, what would I be saying to myself? So in every moment you make a mistake, so I'll do this with myself, I'll make a mistake. And when I first was really working with this in myself, I was really judgmental. And I would make a mistake and I would punish myself and I would look at all the other places I'd made similar mistakes and compare myself to other women that I thought never made a mistake. And the transformation happened. Some of you may be able to relate to this.
Oh, yeah.
The transformation happened when I really started asking myself, okay, if my best friend just did whatever this behavior was, how would I treat her? How would I respond to her? And I started talking to myself in a different way, as if I was talking to my best friend. And at first it felt awkward, it felt a little strange, but over time, the self-talk started to shift. And I was able to then begin to ally with myself. And for us as women, so often we're our own worst enemy, rather than being our best friend.
Amen. Yes, definitely. And so you change. So instead of how you normally would talk to yourself or how we should talk to ourselves, we should think, what would I tell my friend? Just as I am with my two girlfriends, you know. What if I spoke to myself the way I speak to them?
Exactly. And start there. And know it's going to be little baby steps. So you'll probably notice yourself judging yourself because you're judging yourself and you know that you shouldn't be judging yourself. And you can just stop and take a breath and say, okay, where do I want to put my attention? What voice do I want to call in right now? And know that this rewiring that we're talking about of shifting from judging ourselves to witnessing ourselves to really loving ourselves, it's going to take some time. So if you think about how long, for example, you've been judging yourself or been comparing yourself to others. You know, for many of us, that's been a lifetime. So it may take some time to unweave that, but it's possible, absolutely possible. Baby steps, keep taking new action and looking at yourself through new eyes.
And so, yes, and as you said, it will take a while because everything has been sort of programmed into us, a different attitude about ourselves. So it's going to take a while. And I know that gets frustrating for us sometimes. I guess while I was listening to you say that, I thought, okay, so yes, it will take time. You know, you do have to go, we do have to continue to give ourselves good thoughts and to reprogram our minds or rewire our brains like that. And it made me think about, I was like, I drive a manual transmission, but if I use my husband's car with automatic, I keep swatting down the middle looking for that gear shift.
Exactly.
Yeah, just keep wet. And so usually my dog will sit there and go, well, if you're going to wave your hand around, pet me instead. So, but yeah, but yeah, it's a different. It's different because we are programmed in that way mentally. Listen, I'm talking to Heather Ash Amara, and we're discussing her new book, The Warrior God is Claiming the Woman You Are Destined to Be. If you would like to call in and talk with Heather Ash, just call 646-716-9922 and call in with your comment or question. So there's a couple of other things I was wanting to know. I've seen you talk with groups before about what are the four strategies or the four core strategies for coping.
Yes. What I noticed working with people and watching myself is that we tend to go into a default when we get stressed or when we're confused or we're not sure what to do. And we have a tendency to go towards one of these four strategies. And those strategies are pleaser, controller, isolator, distractor. The pleaser energy is, the pleasers are always trying to fix everybody else or make sure everybody else feels okay and good about themselves. And so their energy gets really scattered and goes outward constantly. And often they don't know what they want because they're so busy trying to fulfill everybody else's needs. Mm-hmm. The controllers are similar in just that they're trying to manage the outside world, but instead of trying to please people, they're just trying to make them do what they think is right. So controllers are often saying, if people would just do what I tell them to do or what's the right thing, it would all be fine. So that's a controller. And the isolators, if things get challenging, either outside of them or inside of them, they have a tendency to pull back. So they're the ones that can become invisible and pull their energy far in, or they just leave a situation. They'll go remove themselves from difficult situations. And they feel safest when they're by themselves. And often isolators like are great animal people, but don't love humans very much. And distractors are people that when it gets stressful, they will go do something else. Like often they're ones that will make jokes or they'll distract the energy or they'll go remove themselves and play video games or do other distractions. They'll check Facebook. So they'll start getting stressed and they're like, boom, distract. Distracting themselves, distracting others. And what's interesting about the distractor modality, we can say, is that we're in a distractor culture right now. So our whole culture is geared towards distracting us. And that's been increasing. You know, the flash between images, it used to be much longer. And now it flashes really, really quickly because we're getting more and more distracted. It's harder to keep hold our attention. So within that, most of us have one strategy that is our kind of go-to strategy that feels the most familiar. And the truth is there's also gifts with each of these strategies. So pleasers' gifts are they're really good being in service and listening to what the needs are of others. Controllers are often great leaders because they can see the big picture and know what needs to happen. Isolators often have a really strong connection to spirit, to the divine, because they spend a lot of time alone. And in fact, isolators need a lot of time alone. And distractors often have an amazing capacity. They're also artists. They have an amazing capacity to multitask, to do many things at once. They're often very, very creative. And so we want to honor what our strategy is. And all at the base, all of the strategies, we're just trying to keep ourselves safe. And the problem is, though, they limit us. Because instead of being at choice, we go into default. So that's why when we become aware of what our strategy is, we can start to be more in choice to consciously choose how we want to act in the world rather than just going from default to keep ourselves safe, or the illusion of safety, I should say.
Okay, I can see this now, and I can see, you know, I can identify, you know, what I do and things I've seen. So this is something that we develop. We develop our own strategy for coping. We develop very early in life.
Yes. Usually we develop them very early. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I've seen, like I know for myself, I started off as a pleaser. And there was a point as an adult, I shifted and became more of a controller. And what I notice about myself, for example, is that if something is challenging for me, I'll start by going into controlling often. And if that doesn't work, I'll end up going towards trying to please everybody. So I just have to watch myself. So that's just true with all of it. It's not that, you know, sometimes we think, well, if I just become aware of what my strategy is or what this old agreement is, then boom, it'll go away and I won't have to worry about it anymore. But the truth is, for all of us, we're going to be working with our strategies for probably the rest of our lives, because it is an old childhood pattern. And so instead of holding the thought, I have to fix this, if we can just hold, oh, how do I help create more of a sense of safety inside of myself? How do I deepen my roots, connect to my authenticity, know what my truth is, strengthen my relationship with myself so that I'm creating more of a sense of safety for myself that's not based on what other people are doing? And so if I do get triggered, then I can love myself and support myself through to the other side and keep encouraging the positive qualities of the strategy, like really honor those, while we just really work with and love and support ourselves through the fear, because that's what it is. It's simply fear.
Yeah, fear. And so I think we fear, well, of course, that's on so many different levels and different aspects. So then where, Heather Ash, where do we learn to, and before I ask you this, and remember, folks, if you, as I know that some people are making some comments on Facebook right now that they're enjoying the show, but if you want to call and speak with Heather Ash, ask her a question, the number 646-716-9922. We'd love to invite you into Madame Perry's salon and talk with you. So going on forward from that then, where do we learn, or how do we learn to trust ourselves, to trust our intuition, to trust our judgment? Because, you know, I always say intuition is the kind of thing where, this is my take on it, Heather Ash, if you have an intuition, a gut feeling about something, and you ignore it, then you say, you know, I knew I should have. But you never follow your gut instincts and go, you know, I followed my instincts and I was wrong. You never say that. It's always, I knew I shouldn't. I had a feeling. So how do we learn to trust our intuition, to trust our own judgment?
We learn by willing to make mistakes. Because we have the voice of intuition, which I believe everybody has access to. And we also have these old strategies, these old patterns, these old habits that don't necessarily serve us, but sometimes can feel like intuition. So by willing to take action and then look back, this is how I play with it, is then I look back and go, okay, was that action out of intuition or was it out of a strategy? And to explore the places where I don't listen to my intuition, like you were saying, the place where you go back and you go, oh, right, I knew that was my intuition. To really then hone in and ask yourself, what did it feel like? What did that intuition feel like? What was it like in my body? What did the voice sound like? So that you start to get a sense of what intuition feels or sounds like to you versus what an old strategy is. And, you know, I've talked to people who have said that their intuition feels very calm when they have that intuitive voice versus feeling busy or like they have to do something or feeling pressured. And that's more an old pattern. And so once we sort that out, then it's the willingness to follow through, to learn to trust ourselves. To trust that voice, and even when it doesn't make sense. And this is a big piece of unweaving. You know, we've been trained that your most perceptive organ is your mind, and that your mind has to understand it. And that's so not true. Our minds are messed up, is what's more true. Our minds are what I call disaster mind. That our minds usually or often are in judgment or victimization or looking at the past or looking at the future. Our minds are all over the place. Intuition, however, it doesn't need to be understood. And so we need to shift from that rational thinking, I have to figure this out, to being willing to not know, to take a leap of faith, to open that there are forces at work that are mysterious, that are guiding us. And as we act on that more, what I found is that we start to trust it more because we see the result. Even if it's scary and feels a little bit nonsensical sometimes, we let ourselves rest into that faith.
It sounds sort of like, don't overthink it.
Yes.
Just a feel.
Yeah, feel it and then be willing to learn as you go along. So you get to find what your intuitive voice feels like or sounds like. Because some people are intuitive. This is the other thing that I like teaching people, is that there's a lot of different ways to be intuitive. Some people are physical intuitives, that they touch things and they get information. And some people are emotional intuitive. They feel other people's emotions. And some people are more spiritual intuitive. They get guidance from angels or animal allies. And some people are more, you know, we have these different ways of being. So the fire element, that we get insights and we have knowings in our body. So getting to know how you perceive intuitively is also really helpful. And again, that's that place of becoming intimate with ourselves. That's the journey. For me, that's the journey of the warrior goddess, is that hero's journey, heroine's journey of becoming intimate with ourselves and being where we are now, not no longer abandoning ourselves, which we have such a strong tendency to do as women.
Say that again.
That we stop abandoning ourselves.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I've never heard it put like that before, and yet as soon as you say it, it's clear. I can, yeah. And how often we do that?
Big thing. Mm-hmm. Without even realizing it. Yeah. So we need to be really gentle with ourselves on this journey. We're undoing a lot of patterns.
Well, do you think we have certain, I don't know, maybe ingrained, what we call frames of perception that we've had for a long, long time?
Yes. Yes. That I believe we're in the middle of a paradigm shift right now. And that paradigm shift is really stepping out of what we've known, who we've been, and moving away from what I call linear living. So linear living says, if I do this and this and this, then this will be the result. Then people will like me. Or if I work this job and I'm do the best job I can, then there'll be a reward at the end. And the world is not linear. The world is circular. And our ancestors knew this. The women that walked before us, women always sat in circle. They always knew the power of the seasons and of the cycles of our bodies, the cycle of the moon and the sun. And as women, we've always worked together in circles, supporting each other. And at a certain point, that was lost. And we started living more from this linear idea of, I have to be perfect. I have to do it just right. And so I feel like as women now, this paradigm shift is going back to our roots, to our ancestors, to live more cyclically, to live more in a circle, so that we honor the beginning and the endings. We honor birth and death. We honor day and night. And we're not striving to be something other than we are. We're loving ourselves, the beauty, the flaws, the mistakes, the joy that we embrace all of ourselves instead of trying to force ourselves to be who we think we should be. And that really, that's the woman that we're destined to be, is ourselves, fully, wholly, 100%. Yes, I'm in with this being that I am now, not who I wish I was or I think I should be, but this expression of the divine feminine that I am.
Do you feel like, and this is something I wonder a lot, we go back to talk about intuition, judgments, intuitions, and even our perceptions. I feel that I've always had a belief, Heather Ash, that maybe, I don't know, maybe many years ago, many hundreds of years ago, that we did trust and rely on our intuition a lot more. It was, and maybe even used telepathy more, maybe because our language wasn't developed yet, but because we had it and we knew we could use it. And I always wondered, maybe we've just kind of gotten away from it in all the centuries, or in the last several centuries or more. We just kind of had this marvelous gift that we could use, and we just kind of let it rust a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's really true. Yeah, I think that's really perceptive, that we did have this deep gift of intuition, and it wasn't separate. And I was talking to somebody yesterday about this idea of paranormal, you know, and he was asking me, well, do you feel like these things that you're talking about are paranormal? I'm like, no, I feel like they're normal. Like, intuition is not this, you know, thing that only special people that are psychic get. All of us have it, but as you said, it's rusty. And so we're learning to go back and clean the rust off and polish it and oil it and learn how to befriend it again and trust it. And I think a lot of us, too, when we're kids, are shut down in some ways, like, oh, that's just your imagination. So we have to reclaim our imagination, our creativity, our knowing, and also learn to open. Some ways, there's ways that as women, in order to function, to be in the world, we sometimes close ourselves down, we armor ourselves, we become hard, we become brittle. And so that's why we want to bring the goddess energy in, of that softening and that opening, and knowing that we can trust ourselves.
You know, I've had several people on in Madame Perry's salon in the last several weeks that are maybe intuitives or psychics or had a clairvoyance, and every single one has been saying the same thing, that we're entering a major paradigm shift on the earth.
Yes.
And so I think there's probably no time more that we need more to prepare ourselves for it emotionally. Because that's what I think it would take, emotionally as well as intellectually.
Yes.
Some other things, too. I know that when I was looking at, what's I trying to say here? I know that I was looking at the information on the new book, where it talks about you, and people say you help us. You help your audiences, your listeners, your students see creative, magical possibilities in the most difficult places. You teach things through just honesty, whether it's humor, whether it's laughter. And so some people think that they're not creative. Some people will say, oh, well, I'm not really good at that, or I can't. And I think everybody has something in them. They may not realize it's creativity. But can we cultivate creativity, even if we think we're not creative?
Absolutely. And I think it's actually vital for us to cultivate creativity. So there's the creativity of crafting things, like writing books or doing artwork. And that's beautiful. And yes, cultivate that more. And the creativity that I also really invite people to cultivate is that creativity, when a challenge arises in your life, to be able to step back and look at it and brainstorm a lot of different ideas around how to be with it. And often we get, we close. So a challenge will arise and we'll close down because we don't like it. We'll say no, we'll close down. And what we're closing down is our intuition and our creativity, which means what's left is our old strategy to deal with what's arising. And so it's really hard to make changes if you're just doing the same thing over and over again. And I really believe that we're here and the universe is supporting us and growing. And anytime we set an intent, anytime we say, I want this thing, whatever that thing is, whether it's I want a new job or I want to love more, that what happens is that the universe says, yay, here's a bunch of guidance and here's support and synchronicities start to happen. And what also occurs is that any obstacle between where we are now and where we want to go starts to show up. So the challenges arise. And it's not because the universe is saying, you are bad, you don't deserve this thing. I believe the universe is saying, awesome, you want that thing? Great, clean this up.
Ah,
and it throws up the obstacle. And
yeah.
The obstacle is what we need. It's the agreement. It's the belief. It's where we're limiting ourselves. And it's just being mirrored so we can clean it up. And so when you get this, it's so fun, right? Because then it's like an obstacle arises.
Yeah.
And yay, awesome. Obstacle, because the obstacle has our energy. And we then have the opportunity to reclaim our energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we need creativity. So that when an obstacle arises, that we train ourselves to go, woo, all right, you are a worthy obstacle. Awesome. Okay, how shall I work with this? Yeah, it's one of the fun things
so
I train people is to brainstorm crazy, wonderful, creative ideas to obstacles.
Okay, how clever. Oh, yeah, that's a whole now that's a whole different way of looking at things. That's a reframing or a restructuring.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. And by the way, if you're listening to us now, I am so delighted to have Heather Ash Amara on Madame Perrier Salon. She is the warrior goddess, and she wants to help us all be warrior goddess. And she wants to inspire us to help us live more exciting lives, see all of our creative, magical possibilities. And I like her. I'm learning so much from her already. I thought I knew a lot, but it's so different. So give us a call. What's that number? 646. Sorry. I'm so excited to listen to you. 646-716. Hey, and that's a good thing. Yeah, that's a very good thing. 646-716-9922. And I do have a caller now. Hi, welcome to Madame Perry Salon.
Hi, Jennifer. This is Andrea Robinson.
Andrea Robinson from
California.
The West Coast. From California.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay,
yeah,
welcome.
Absolutely.
She's
doesn't
one of
my favorites at the moment. But
so I'd like for you to meet Heather Ash Amara. Heather Ash, Andrea, she's from California, and she's one of our favorite regulars. We even have her own cushion here. And Madam Carson.
Oh, yeah.
So are you enjoying the show so far?
I had a question, I guess, Heather. First of all, I love the cover. I think it just speaks volumes about the work. It's got balance and harmony and Mother Nature. And I love the design. I just want to let you know. I haven't read it, though. Sorry.
Good, wonderful. I'm glad that you like it. It is a beautiful cover. It's very
okay, so
activating.
Can you guys hear me okay? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. So you were saying something, and I remember I went to this class one time where the teacher was psychic, and she was telling us that ESP, extrasensory perception, is not extra. You know, it was her opinion that they had it. I thought that was a great line because it just resonated with me because I don't really consider myself psychic, but I think I had those moments where we're thinking, oh, my I mean, I had a moment one time where I literally, I was maybe 400 miles from home, and I literally had this urge to call home and ask my roommate what happened to my dog. Because I was like, oh, let me think positive. But then 2 days later, I found out that the dog had broken his leg.
Wow.
And I thought, yeah. So that was just one of those, I mean, literally, that was unmistakable. You couldn't make that up.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that? And I think sometimes maybe, like, that dog had a super strong connection to me. One time I was sitting in my bed. Literally, I did nothing. I was on the floor. I was in bed, and I was thinking, I'm going to go take him on a walk right now. He literally jumped up. But I had changed my mind. I didn't, like, how did he know what I was thinking? I swear I didn't do anything. It wasn't like I grabbed the leash and then, no, I was sitting in bed, so how could he know that?
Yeah, it's, there's some, I was just thinking about this today. There's this beautiful study from Sheldon Rudrake, I think is his name, where they watched a dog, like they put a video camera with a dog, and what they found is his owner could like leave anytime, could leave work anytime, and her work was like miles and miles and miles away. The moment she walked out the door of her office, the dog would run to the front door and wait for her. And this is miles away, and it could be, and like she would be completely unpredictable, and the dog would know every time. And I really believe that we're deeply connected to animals, and we're also deeply connected to each other. We've just forgotten that we have these intuitive capacities that aren't extra. They're actually part of our nature. They're our part of being human and being connected, but we've so disconnected ourselves that we've forgotten our own capacity and our own capabilities. So it's always wonderful when we get reminded, when you have an experience like you had with your dog, of realizing, oh, yes, I am connected to everything. Because that's the truth. The connection's the truth. The disconnection's something we made up that we're in the process of remedying.
So, you know what? You're making me think, it's not that we're different or dogs are more sensitive. Maybe it's just that we're blocking it and the dog doesn't bother to block it.
Exactly.
What do you, you think?
I do.
Sometimes you think, oh, I wish the dog didn't know what I was thinking, you know?
that's a good
but,
one, you know, because
you do?
When you know, I live in Georgia, and I'm a dog person too. I live in Georgia, and I've rescued several dogs. And I think if you know anything about Georgia, Heather Ash, it's a lot like I think you're in Texas, somewhat like Texas, in that Spanish is almost a second language here.
Yeah.
So, and that was my major, and I mean my minor in college was Spanish. So I said, well, you know, you never know when you rescue a dog. It's like rescuing a child from a country where you don't speak the language. You can't really know what they've been through, what they're afraid of, what, you know, bothers them. So sometimes when they wouldn't, you know, follow a command, then I would say it in Spanish, and they would do whatever it was. And my husband said, no, it's because you're trying so hard to think of the word in Spanish that you're telepathing it to them. That's what you want them to do. And I go, well, I know they still understand me.
So, but either way. You know,
we've got somebody else who's joined us here in the studio, and I think it's also somebody from California. Welcome to Madam Perry Salon.
Hi. Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Sherry.
Hi. And this
How
is
are
Sherry.
You?
I'm doing great, Sherry, and I'm glad to have you here. You may already know Heather Ash, but my guest, as you know, is Heather Ash Amara. We're talking about her book, The Warrior Goddess, Claiming the Woman You Are Destined to Be. And she's here, and also one of Madam Perry's Salon's regulars, Andrea Robinson, also from the West Coast like you. So welcome. And so if you listen to what we're talking about, Warrior Goddess and learning to trust our intuition. Oh, and if I didn't mention this, Heather Ash, Sherry is also a writer, screenwriter, but she also has a podcast that she produces and hosts as well. So
wonderful.
Yeah, Meg did a call for my buddy because her show is quite popular. But we've been talking, if you heard us, Sherry, about trusting our judgment and intuition, cultivating creativity, that's something you certainly know a lot about, and we're going into learning to speak our truth. Do you have a comment or question for Heather Ash?
Well, I go by my instincts when I'm writing, and I don't know how that works exactly, but I know that when you're working on whatever kind of writing you're doing, you tap.
Okay, I think we just lost Sherry.
Oh,
but she'll be back.
Connection.
Yeah, I think we lost her connection. No, we didn't lose her.
Okay.
Altogether.
Oh, no. Okay.
just the connection no. there, that's all.
Not like she had a heart attack or something, right?
No, Lord, no. I don't. I'm pretty sure. I certainly hope not, but no, I didn't.
I hope not. I don't think so.
You know, one thing I wanted to also ask is, unless you've got a different question, Andrea, but
no.
Talk about sacred time management and how to create space and ease and time for ourselves. That's what I need to know.
Yes, that's such a big topic. So sacred time management is really about recognizing that our true work, the work we're really here to do, is not necessarily what we're physically doing in the world. Now, obviously, what we're physically doing in the world is important, but that when we come back to asking ourselves, what is actually my true work, and how do I make space for that? Then we can orient our lives in a different way so that our time is sacred and really learn to consciously create structures for ourselves that create more ease in our lives. And we do this by increasing our awareness and knowing where we want to put our energy. And then, again, being creative around how we make more space for ourselves. Create systems and structures and pathways for the objects and material things in our life to flow. So an example is that, you know, I consider my true work is love. And there's a lot of things that I do in my day-to-day, like working on websites and doing interviews and writing and, you know, cleaning up after the cats. And if I'm not paying attention, you know, this is really easy for us to just get into busyness, that we're just doing the next thing on our list. But when we really come back to reminding ourselves, what's my true work, then every action that we take becomes sacred. Because whether it's doing something at work that's challenging, or doing something that we love, or doing something that's super mundane, every action we take is an opportunity to practice our true work, to bring whatever that true work is through our actions, which is really powerful and shifts our perception and how we're living in the world, and really teaches us how to slow down as well, come into every moment in a different way.
You know, and by the way, we have Sherry Rabinowitz back. Welcome back, Sherry.
Hi, guys.
Hey, we were worried about
it. Yeah, my phone just went beep, and then I was gone.
Well, glad you found your way back. So, I like that, you know, I find lately I'm trying to get rid of, so like a lot of people trying to minimize my material objects in my home, and I found that, you know, I want to write, planning to go back to school in January to get a master's in film and television, and all the things I want to do, and I always have to put, well, I don't have time for that, I've got to take care of this. And then I thought, I've got to get rid of this stuff because I waste so much time maintaining. I'm not quite to hoarder status yet, but pretty close to pack rat. And I've got, you know, thousands of books and clothes that I'll never fit back into again, but I'm keeping hope alive, like Jesse Jackson, that I'll be a size 4 again. There's no way that's going to happen, you know. I mean, Good luck. I'm excited to get me to that goal weight. Yeah, I know. So I can't remember when I used to grab for that size. But, you know, you have to maintain the stuff. You have to move it around when you clean. You have to make spaces for it. You have to make another stack somewhere. And I realized I'm spending so much time taking care of this, moving it around, cleaning around it, that I could be spending, you know, writing or getting ready to just to do anything else that I want to do like that. So when I don't know where to go, what I want to ask you next, but because I've got so many questions, one would have to do with, and maybe it's because of the three pillars, because when you talk about forgiveness, relationships, finding your inner stillness, forgiveness, that's a big one for everybody, I think. So
yes.
I guess I should back up and start with the three pillars, or where should we go? You're the boss.
Yeah, we can start there. So Where God Is Way, the new book, Way is for wisdom, authenticity, and yes. And so those are the three main aspects of the teaching. So wisdom is about coming back home to listening to ourselves, bringing our attention back to our inside knowing. And I see it as connecting with our ancestors as well, with that deeper wisdom that we're part of. Authenticity is about really being ourselves fully in the world, bringing ourselves forward. And yes is that place of opening to everything, opening to life, and staying also very present with what is arising rather than what we wish was happening. But how do we show up with what is happening? And so forgiveness is in the wisdom section, and it's something that really frees us. In order to claim our power again, we want to stop dragging the past along with us. And as women, we so often are carrying a lot of extra baggage, emotional baggage, energetic baggage of things that we've haven't cleared out, that we haven't let go of past hurts that we have, or sense of injustice, or sense of being victimized. And in order to really be in the present, we need to start exploring, how do I forgive? And that starts with, how do I forgive myself? How do I forgive myself for all the ways I've judged myself, all the ways I've abandoned myself, all the ways that I've gone against myself? And that's a really powerful new message to give ourselves, is that willingness to start learning how to forgive ourselves and come back home, as I see it. And as we build that capacity, we also learn the wisdom of forgiving others. That when we forgive someone, it doesn't mean that we are condoning their behavior, or we're saying we agree with them, or that we even want to be friends with them. What we're saying is, I don't want to carry this heaviness with me. I want to let this be in the past. And we're giving ourselves the huge gift of releasing that old thinking of how we've been hurt. And it takes time. This isn't a quick, like, oh, I'm just going to forgive everybody and forgive myself and I'll be done. Yay, that'll be great. It's this journey towards forgiveness. And it starts with just being willing. You don't have to know how. But if you're willing to learn how to forgive yourself or to forgive others, I really believe the moment we go into willingness, we reconnect with our wisdom, and our inner wisdom will teach us how to forgive, how to let go. It'll guide us. We just have to be willing to listen and to take the next step to let go.
That's a good point.
Where does the inner wisdom come from? When it's a real difficult struggle sometimes. I meditate every day. And I try to clear myself and do that. But even though I can meditate, and I do it, like I said, every day, I've never really been able to clear that, I don't know, that ballast, the weight that you carry, what would be the first step to doing that?
One of my favorite steps is a process called recapitulation. So I'll just describe it to you. It's a pretty simple process, really profound. And what recapitulation is about, going back into your past to reclaim the energy that you've lost. So anytime that we go into fear or confusion, we have a tendency to lose a little bit of energy. So if you can think about in your lifetime, how many times you've like had sudden changes in your life, or you can see a place where you've lost energy. If you think about the first time you had a breakup, a really difficult breakup of a relationship or a friendship even, and you can see that time and realize how much energy was lost in that moment. And so what recapitulation teaches us is how to go back into the past and literally, using our intent and our breath, breathe our energy back. And it's our life force energy. It's our energy. Bring it back so it's not locked in the past, but that it's available in the present. And so we go back and we start cleaning up those old lines of energy. Because for many of us, it's like we're dragging the past along with us. And recapitulation is one tool to clear those lines so that we're taking the energy and bringing it into the present and then choosing where we want to put it rather than it being stuck in the past.
Well, how do you do that?
One.
How do you choose where you want to put it?
That is a terrific in the path with you.
Mm-hmm. And how we change it is by becoming conscious. Where do I want to put my attention? So it's similar, I was talking earlier about this idea of true work and this idea of intent, of putting your energy where you want it to. You would ask yourself, okay, so is there something coming up in my life that I want to put energy towards, or is there just a quality I want to gather more of? So it might be peace. I want more peace in my life. So that's where I want to put my energy towards, is creating more peace. And then you would go back and gather the energy. And it's a very simple breathing technique. And then say, okay, any extra energy that I've gathered, I want to send it towards peace.
Okay.
You know, that's one way. And there's another way is a practice called not doing. Very simple. So what we want to do is break up patterns, because patterns are what can cause us to be stuck in the past. So an example of a not doing is like brushing your teeth with your opposite hand, or driving to work a different way every day for a week. So you do something that is usual, that you wouldn't normally do, and that then helps you to gain energy. And I know it sounds strange because this isn't a thing that makes sense to the mind, but for an energetic point of view, what it does is it creates more freedom. So we're at more choice. We're not in just habit. We come back into choice. And when we come back into choice, we get more creative. We show up more and we have more energy.
All right. Well, we like that. I like the fact, and then just to go back, because I know we've kept you much, I'm keeping you over time right now, and I'm grateful to you for being with us. But Heather Ash, I want to say too that, and for everyone listening, you know, your first book, Warrior Goddess Training, and you have a workbook companion to go with that, which is lovely, because I think having a workbook companion is sort of like having you as our best friend to kind of coach us along. You know, it's something we can work with and see and read again every day and help, you know, and help rewire and retrain our thoughts to something that's more beneficial to us. But I want to let everyone know, too, and, of course, the book that's just come out, Warrior Goddess Way, Claiming the Woman You're Destined to Be. If you want to know more about Heather Ash Amara, and I know you do, her website, and I've got to have the website all over all my social media, but her website is heatherashamara.com. I'll have the link. I've got the link here. I'll have it everywhere else, too. She's got some free stuff, okay? I think I put something, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter today, Heather Ash, but where you said something about download free chapters. And then
I retweeted that, said,
download two chapters and call me on the podcast, you know, if you want to talk to the other Asher Marv.
Nice.
And, but she's got some free stuff. She's got links to videos. She's got a calendar too, a blog, a store, but events and trainings. And I've looked through this. You've got all the way to, good Lord. I know this only shows to October 2017, but trips to Mexico, Santa Cruz, Peru. I see the Warrior Goddess Facilitator Training, Warrior Goddess Weekends, Practical Magic Live, Peru Journey to the Heart of the Andes. I don't know where to start first. Sherry, Andrea, yeah, you gals, I might grab you to make you go with me or take you with me. There's a... Heather, actually, anybody that's been listening to the show or follow me on Facebook know that I'm always talking about how I'd like to have a tour bus to take all of my author friends on tour. And we just go travel the country
yes.
and stop and have readings and sell their books. And if they're musicians, play music, make it. But I think
wow.
we'll just take the tour bus on over and father wherever Heather Ash goes.
There you go.
I think it's a wonderful plan. And,
okay, we'll find out.
Okay. I see. As I'm already saying, February 28th, Practical Magic Live. I want to go to that. I'm going, okay, meeting at the Gathering of the Shamans. I want to go to that. So anyway, go to heatherashamara.com. Look at all the stuff on there. Get the books. And I'm telling you, if you already know about her, I don't have to tell you. But if you've listened to her here and you read anything, you know she's not only wise and authentic. She wants to help us say yes to ourselves. How's that way? How did I work that pillar thing in there? Was that pretty good, Heather Ash?
That was really good. That was a good reading.
With some authenticity, she wants us to say yes to ourselves.
Yes.
And she wants to give you all the love you can have for yourself to enjoy your life and your purpose and do your true work even better. So go to the website, Heather Ash Amara. Thank you so much. Also want to thank my gals here, Sherry Rabinowitz and her podcast, Chatting with Sherry, Andrea Robinson, who does wonderful work with animals, and I'm your cruise director, Jennifer Madam Perry. And I think we're going to close out with our dear friend, Ray D'Africo, singing Everything's Gonna Be All Right. Thank you so much, ladies. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Blessings.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks. Good night, everybody.
This is for Sunny Jim.